Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is all of us as co-hosts. Sarah Wells, Megan Jade, Kevin Tinkin. How are you guys?
Real good.
Real good. I don't know if you guys knew this, but Sarah, this past weekend, she ran a full-blown marathon.
Half.
And 48.2 miles.
I ran 50 miles.
Oh, my gosh. A marathon's like 26.4 miles.
It's a half.
It's 13.2.
So here's what I thought would be fun is because Sarah ran a marathon, I thought...
Half marathon.
Because Sarah ran in a marathon... And oh, I thought we'd play music from her playlist that she had while running.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Chariots of Fire?
No, there's no Glee. I kept the Glee out.
I'm sorry. I can only imagine it's not in there.
I'm shocked by, actually.
But Herman Cain's version
of... Were they one of CJ Mahaney's podcasts or something?
I can make you a pizza.
I feel really pumped up.
Okay, but Jane Fawcett, a previous co-host, she made this playlist for me, and it was fantastic. So if you ever need a running playlist, please talk to Jane Fawcett.
So you'll hear some songs that you might just want to run to. So.
My wife ran that same. She's the same as Sarah.
She had a same playlist?
No. She ran in the half marathon.
Oh, nice. You guys got sweatshirts, right?
Yes, we did.
And
you know
medals.
What I did this weekend?
Well, I'm concerned about the medal. I'm more concerned about the playlist. I need to know what's on it.
Well, you'll just have to
find
out.
You'll really like it. You'll really like it.
Yeah, but I can only imagine it's not on there.
Is it Bieber?
There's no Bieber. The Killers is on there.
Oh, easy.
Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, Chariots of Fire. Obviously, the Rocky theme song.
It Must Have Been Love by Roxette.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
That's funny.
Somebody to Love from the Glee cast.
Well, on today's episode, on today's episode, we've played that on this before.
I know.
But not the dirty version.
I did start out with the song Our God by Chris Tomlin because I started the race out with that and I listened to it, I think, 6 times before I let it move on to the next song.
You got to praise the Lord first.
You know what? It got me pumped up.
Totally.
I just fell asleep.
It's so. Oh, great. I love this.
Anyways, on today's episode, we are going to be switching some things up as far as the news. And I'm just really thinking that...
just did like mocked a breaststroke right now.
No, I just really think
do
that
the news.
That segment, I don't know. I think we should have fun with that segment and we should start thinking of our own creative...
And this has been boring.
I think we should start thinking of our own creative games. Mm-hmm. So Sarah and I kind of came up with a game today that I think should be pretty fun. We'll get to that in a second.
Caroline came up with a game too.
Yeah.
We're also going to do
We're
also going to do our sermon feedback on 1 Corinthians basically 10 through 17, maybe?
17.
Jared spoke on that this weekend, as well as we're going to interview Greg Zaffilato. And he's from our Clovis campus. He's our spiritual formation director there.
One of my bosses.
Yes, and he's a good guy. He's going to talk to us about
and
the
Sarah's
life group
gonna
guide.
And Sarah's going to get fired later on in the show.
No.
Stay tuned.
How
then
awkward.
We'll close the show out with some announcements. But enjoy Sarah's playlist for this past week from this past weekend's marathon.
Ooh.
That you ran.
I mean, you get a sense from Paul here that baptism is a big deal, but it's not the big deal. Like, I don't remember. I don't remember if I baptized that person. Because the identification is not with a person. It's with a Savior. It's with a King. A pastor stands to help that moment. A relative, a family member, a life group leader stands in that pool as a symbol of someone who helps share that Savior, influence that Savior in that person's life, and they stand, I'm here because of Christ. It'd be awkward if people started saying, I'm baptized in the name of Brad. I'm baptized in the name of Yvonne, Wendy. I mean, you just do it that and people will go, that's silly. Yet we will go out on a Saturday and we will put on a man's jersey with his number and we will scream our face off for him to throw a touchdown, for him to run to 150 yards and boost our fantasy score. We'll go out to a concert and we will act crazy for someone to sing us that song like they're singing right to us. We'll watch a man give a speech and think our whole hope and future rests in that guy. Aren't you grateful that the way to save the world is not in a man?
That was a clip from Jared Rumley's sermon this past weekend. And it's a rather longer clip, but I wanted to get the bigger picture of the sermon as a whole. And if you guys didn't attend church this past weekend, it was on 1 Corinthians 1. What did I say before?
10 through 17.
And it's about essentially divisions in the church. And it actually was a sermon that Brad sort of gave about right before he preached, right before all the people preached during the summer, right before I spoke. And he basically was just saying that don't like think that just because I come up here on a weekly basis that somebody else can't teach you the gospel. And so it was really kind of the first major problem in Corinthians was that people were like, well, I follow this guy. And so Jared kind of brought up those issues and talked about that this Sunday. Did you guys get anything from it?
Yes, I thought he did a really, really great job. And this is like an issue that I get fired up about because I see so many times where believers get divided for things that aren't big deals, like he's saying at the baptism, but we get divided over like doctrinal issues that are important but aren't worth dividing an entire body over, you know? And I think Satan loves it when our church body gets divided over things that aren't, you know, issues of salvation, you know, they're right. Just preference issues. And he loves it, I'm sure. Like, you know, the whole issue of like predestination versus free will. Oh, like, that's such the huge topic. I'm sure
Don't get Kevin started.
Don't get Kevin started.
You know, just like things.
But that
like,
is a huge doctrinal issue.
I know, but, and I just feel like Satan loves it when people are completely divided over it instead of like, you know, why can't we discuss it in love? And not just that issue, but you know, everything.
Yeah. Right. Well, it doesn't matter what the truth is.
Right.
Our actions are we're still called to do the same thing. So I think like things like that, Christians love to, this one especially.
his name is Christian.
Christians love to split hairs over that stuff. And people will split up an entire church or, people won't be friends over stuff that's just like, come on, you guys. Like, this is not important.
Well, I even think that Jared mentioned it at some point in his sermon, and Kevin, you've brought this up on the show before, like things aren't at the well like they used to be 10 years ago, you know what I mean? Like we're almost hitting our 10-year anniversary, and people who've been around for a while are like, oh, I miss the old days, I miss the times at Fig and the Dog Pound or whatever that may be, and it's like, yeah, but are you going to like divide yourself from this church because it's not what it once was or whatever, or you know, you're not having dinner at Brad's house every night, or I just like those type of things. I really agree with you, Sarah. It's like Satan loves that kind of stuff, and I think that people instead of holding an open hand to a lot of things, they just have such closed-handed issues on things, and it's just like, well, forget the well, you know what I mean? And I think that's why the well in some senses gets a lot of hostility, because I don't think we really take a stand on much, you know what I mean? I think we have a few closed-handed issues, but people come to Discovery all the time, if you've ever been there, and they're trying to stump Brad. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's fascinating. And Brad just goes, look, man, like I'm not in the business of answering all these questions. Like I'm in the business of serving Christ, you know what I mean? And kind of exactly what Paul says in the scripture. It's like, look, I serve Christ, you know?
He does a good job of addressing those questions on a regular basis. And I think the thing I love about the well is that it's we do talk about really hard things,
right?
A lot of what is wrong. You know, we'll talk about other religions. I mean, that's like them are fighting words a lot of the time, and it's worth it because that stuff matters, because that is salvific in nature. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I see so many people that'll be church hopping, or they'll be, you know, they'll go to one church like, oh, I don't go there anymore because you know, they painted the walls black, and it's just, you know, it's a bit black. Right. Black's the devil's color. And it's just like for me, there's been issues. But I at you know, at church, and there's been issues, you know, there's issues in your family and things like that.
Right.
But you stick it out because they're your family. And if it's issues that aren't salvific, they're not like strongly biblically measured, then what's the point? You know,
right.
Love God and love your neighbor.
Yeah.
And it's okay to have strong opinions, but it's not.
No, it's not.
It's okay to have strong opinions, but also because I have strong opinions about things, but now like I see, oh, not everyone has to have that same opinion, and like we can still all get along.
Right.
Yeah. Megan, you got any thoughts over there?
I have so many thoughts, I can't even like get one out.
Whoa. At least get one out
at the same time.
Well, I don't know. I just feel like I'm divided within myself on this issue because I think that there's a lot of imbalance in churches not addressing things that people are concerned about or reading their Bibles and like have questions about. But then there's the other side of things where people or churches are dividing over issues that are not salvific, like you said. So I think the Well does do a pretty good balance. And like Brad does not shy away from questions that people ask. And I think that there's a natural like desire for, or there's a natural curiosity when we read scripture. And I think Paul addresses it in Romans when he says like, at the end of the day, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but at the end of the day, God is God. And like, who are we? We don't know the way that God works in this. And we don't know all the mysteries about God or whatever.
Right.
And especially with predestination and free will, you know, we don't know exactly how it all works together, but we know that at the end of the day, God is God and we've been called to do something. And so I think this is something that I have to reconcile within myself all the time because I really want to know everything and I really want to know the Bible to its fullest extent.
Well, you
want to
know the black and white.
Yeah, I really do. And I think that that's like a struggle for people in life because where everything else in life is gray, you want certain things like faith to be black and white. And that's not necessarily the case, but I can see where people would really fight for that and really want to leave a church over it because they just want truth so desperately.
Well, that's why I think it's so difficult for people in life to eventually just start following Christ. You know what I mean? Because they just want things laid out before them. They want answers to God. There's no such thing as God if my son died or you can't say that there's a God because of the earthquakes or whatever. And it's like, well, no, I mean, it's just God is still God, you know, and people have these huge things where like, I can't believe in this God that would do that. Or I can't believe in this God that would do that. And it's just so hard to get the point across. Like what you just said, it's like, God is God no matter what. Things happen all the time. I can't explain why this certain situation happened to you and your mom 15 years ago or whatever. However, I know that God is a loving God and God is a just God. And like, it's just like, but people want the black and the whites for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like when life is hard, it feels like the gospel changes.
Right.
But it doesn't.
Sure. Yeah.
It's like, you know, when we start talking about predestination versus, you know, Arminian, help me out here.
Calvin versus Arminian.
Thank you. Calvin versus Arminian. It doesn't change what the Great Commission is.
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't change the fact that we're all sinners and we're all destined for hell and Christ is the only way. But we want to sit around and like talk about it and like not go to lunch with people because they believe something else or write something dirty on somebody's Facebook post because they believe something different than you, you know, within the church, of course, obviously.
I think that the place where you see that a lot is like, I think blogging has become a pretty popular thing these days. And I'm not, you know, opposed to blogs by any means, but I just feel like if you read the comment sections on some people's blogs,
oh, they're awful.
It's like, get a life, seriously. Yeah. Like, grow up and like act like Christ. Like,
even on Facebook statuses, I've seen that.
Yeah, a ton. Yeah. No, when I said dirty, I meant nasty.
Right, I get you.
Nasty stuff on people's walls, mean.
Something I was thinking about while you're talking is, I just read Mere Christianity again. The last time I read it was like
C.S.
6 years ago, and I just, for anyone who's listening that like really, I feel like C.S. Lewis just paints a really great picture of like that struggle exactly of like, how do we live with through the eyes of faith but have all of these like feelings and thoughts and struggles, and this is what scripture says and this is what it doesn't say, and these are all the arguments. He goes through all these different arguments that people over time have given, and just really lays out a really cool picture of like the way that God is in charge and the way that God is in control and the way that faith works in Christianity, and it blew my mind to read it again and just realize like, as a supplement to scripture, like, oh, this like just paints a lot of really cool pictures, like an imagery that helped me understand more so than I did before.
For sure.
And I think that's a great resource to have when you have those extra questions And to be able to work through it, because you need to have your brain work. Like, Megan, I know you're an intellectual person. Compliment.
Thank you.
I can't just sit here and be like, Megan, it doesn't matter. Just love the Lord. And you just be like, okay, I'm just going to shut my brain off and stop asking questions. It's like, no, read C.S. Lewis, you know, dig into that stuff and find out what all the angles are.
Well, and that's how, like, I think that's what's so cool about the way God made everyone so uniquely, because like when Megan's asking questions or thinking about things deeply, like that's like the Lord's like glorified through that, because yeah. you're using your intellect to get to know him better and to find the black and white and to find the truth that matters. And I think it's so okay for us to be asking questions and to do research and discuss things with people. It's when there's a lack of love. And that's when Satan gets in and divides the church, because I can sit and me and Kevin can disagree on something. But at the end of the day, like, that's okay. Me and Kevin, we're right. still in the body and we can disagree right. on that. And right. whoop-de-doo. Mm-hmm. But it's when we decide, like what you said, to not go to lunch with someone because they have a different, you know, a different opinion about something. That's right. when the church is divided.
And I think that you have a place like the Well that you're going to find you have two different subgroups of people. You know what I mean? You have your 7 o'clock crowd and your 9 o'clock crowd. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got your, it's just, you're going to have people within your very church that have differing views politically, religiously, all of the above than you. However, you should still be coming to church for the same reason that the other mm-hmm. person is. And one thing I want to bring up, maybe this is a longer thing to talk about, but you know, Jared was mentioning, and you just like, I follow this person. And something that I think has become pretty common in our culture today is, you know, I listen to this podcast of this teacher or whatever. I listen to Andy Stanley, or I listen to Mark Driscoll, or I listen to Francis Chan, all of the above. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like I've just gotten to a point where for me, I'm just kind of like, I'm just going to listen to the guy that I go to church at. You know what I mean? And I don't know, like, I think there's a lot out there, but if I continue to be, every teaching pastor is different. Mark Driscoll is different than Brad Bell. Francis Chan is different than Brad Bell. And it's like, if I'm just continually being not clouded in necessarily a bad way by all these other teachers and they're teaching great stuff, I feel like I'm just going to go, well, Mark said that and Brad didn't, or whatever. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
well, it's not a bad thing to be fed and like to right. be nurtured in your relationship with God. But I think a lot of times what people are looking for is they're looking for that to be their only source of nutrition spiritually. Right. And so they're listening to all these podcasts. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people will leave churches. You know, if a pastor dies or falls morally,
right.
You know, and the people just leave, you know, we're done now.
Right.
You know, because, you know, Jerry up here or whatever did screwed up. Jerry's my name for anybody. He's general. Right. It's my generic name. And, you have to have that faith in Christ. Your nurture has to be your food source has to come from the Bible and right. from your prayer life and things like that. You can't constantly be searching for other people's overflow as to kind of turn
to Bradism. And I'm not saying that these teachers are bad. I think they're all great. Yeah. I think for me, I've just learned that it starts to cloud certain things that mm-hmm. I hear and I go, well, I don't know. I don't agree with that. That person says differently or whatever. And I feel like it just creates more and more and more divisions. And it's like, just go to your church. And that's my opinion. But
I think like sometimes, because I listen to lots of other things, and what I have to always think through the lens of is, am I trusting this person more than I'm trusting the Holy Spirit in my life? Because yeah. I'll take anything that, say, Matt Chandler or something mm-hmm. has to say, I'm like, oh yeah, me too. He said it. Me too.
Right.
And that's not right. good. Or, you know, and most of what he says, I do agree with, but I can't just, you know, adopt someone's theology just because mm-hmm. it's theirs, you know?
Right. Well, and I think like along those lines, I think like in that quest for truth that I feel like is very representative of our generation, mm-hmm. We tend to be like extremely gluttonous spiritually. Like, we are spiritual gluttons with all of the things right. that we're continually intaking, and we're taking all of these different sermons and all of this different stuff, and we have all of this knowledge, and yet like I feel like something that's really true of like our generation also is there's a separation between head and heart. So we have like tons of knowledge, and yet like our act, like the way that we act and the way that we live aren't necessarily representative of everything that we know. And I don't think that, like you said, podcasts are bad or anything's bad, right. but it's like you can't, it's impossible to like intake all of that and then use it wisely. Like, correct. It has to be a balance, and I don't right. think that we have that yet, because mm-hmm. we do have so, like, technology is so accessible mm-hmm. to us. So I just think like it's like this this information overload, like this spiritual overload, to where like you're almost paralyzed.
Right.
You know, and you just don't do anything after that.
Mm-hmm. For sure. That's a good note to end it on, Megan. And yeah, if you didn't hear this sermon this past week from Jared, check it out. It's really good. Divisions of the church, divisions kind of across the board, issues, all of the above. And so download that. And yeah, up next, we're going to do something different for the news segment. And then we'll interview Greg Zuffalotto. Enjoy some more Sarah's Marathon Mix. We are back. And so for this segment, we're going to do a couple things differently. Kevin last week had mentioned that, hey, he doesn't always get to participate in the one and why segments.
Yes.
And I know that Kevin, you know, he's creative. He's got cool thoughts, cool ideas. And so I wanted to include you in on this. And so,
and he turns into a super jerk. We don't do what he wants.
Right. So
yes. He starts hitting everybody and turning
throwing
tables.
His kids. I mean, just kidding.
I say we go through our one and whys now, and then we'll get to a game that I think could potentially be really fun. How does that sound?
I love it.
All right, so our one and why this past week was our favorite Christmas song and why. I know we're all divided with as far as the if you're allowed to listen to Christmas music now or not, but we got a couple of funny emails this week that I'll
hopefully
read first.
From Wes Crockett.
Not for he's still on his honeymoon.
Freaking
so
Wes, he's back now. He
well,
says
this is not
so.
Acceptable.
All right,
I needed his back on this.
It's important.
Well, a good
it's important
good listener of the show is Michael Elizondo. He's our Turlock.
Oh yeah.
Core group pastor. He says, hey, Spout team, hope you're all doing well and having fun. So my favorite Christmas song, it's tough. I love me some Christmas songs, but he'll have to say Drummer Boy, especially the newer versions of this song. Sarah?
We don't need you to see. This is why we can't do music one and wise, because Sarah will sing every song we sing.
He doesn't really like the original Carol of the Drum. Wait, he says... Especially newer versions of this song, not so much the original Carol of the Drum. And then he kind of includes some lyrics in on there. But he also says, here's Ethan. Oh, never mind. He included a YouTube video that we can't play on the show.
No.
It's an audio version. But what's funny is literally probably 5 minutes later, he sent a follow-up email that said, whoa, I need to follow up with something. I know I like newer versions of Drummer Boy, but I don't want people to think that I like the Justin Bieber version of Drummer Boy. Just heard it. Nothing against him necessarily, but just not a fan of what he did with my favorite Christmas song. That's
thanks
it.
For the clarification.
Yeah, I'm glad he added Michael. That addendum. I was already about 37% into judging him.
How dare he?
Stopped that train.
We also got an email from Amanda, who was on our show last week, if you guys remember.
Our babysitter.
She said, well, her favorite Christmas song is by Mariah Carey. All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Of course it is. Oh, I love it. So
fun and upbeat. Makes me want to put on my Christmas pajamas and dance around the house, just like Kevin McAllister and Michael Jordan.
Why are we reading the emails first? Like, now they're going to trump our one and whys.
Well, it's just, you know, changing it up a bit, all right, Megan?
Megan.
Like she also likes Oh Holy Night. That's a classic oldie with such great lyrics. So let's go through our one and whys. How does that sound, guys? Mm-hmm. You guys want me to go first?
Megan's so agitated.
All right, my one and why, my favorite Christmas song and why, is a song called Christmas Eve Sarajevo 24/7. It's a song by Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh, my God. Ooh, that's okay. I'm sorry. I can't make fun of you.
Judge, and then immediately.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Great song. I've been a fan of that band for a very long time.
Are they called a band?
Yeah, I mean, they tour.
The Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
They're not an orchestra. That's just a name. It's like Mannheim Steamroller. It's just a band, you know?
Okay.
And I've seen Trans-Siberian Orchestra 3 or 4 times in concert. Love them. Mm. I think I liked them before everybody got on the Christmas house light show train that they now do. Yeah. But yeah, love that song. Great song. And I could listen to it for hours. So that's my favorite Christmas jam. Mm. And why? Hmm. I guess that's not really a why. I love instrumental music. So, oh. Kevin, what song makes you jolly?
I'll tell you in a second, but I do. If you really think about songs, like you think about the context, Drummer Boy is a weird song, man. Like, because I'll tell you what, I started playing drums when I was like 12 years old, and I was bad.
Right.
And this kid that was playing his drum for him, rum pum pum, he was probably pretty young. Yeah, sing, get some background. And you know, I mean, there was none of that. There was no melody. It was just like, hey, Jesus. It just, I don't know if like.
Sometimes Mary, I wish the show was videoed.
I don't know if Mary and Joseph were just sitting
so
there going like.
Are you making fun of his email?
No, I love the song. Like,
Michael,
especially,
we do apologize.
Yeah, I love Mikey E. We go way back.
All right, I really do wish this was videoed right now.
Yeah, but it just, you think about it, like I just see Mary and Joseph being like, that's great. That's thanks. Sweet. Thanks for that.
And then he yells at him and says, who are you?
Yeah.
You know?
Who
do you think you are?
I'm a poor boy too.
all right, Jeff, what's your favorite song and why?
My one and why, I'm sorry.
No, that's cool.
It just happened.
It's cool.
I really like the Chipmunks Christmas album.
Wait, you gave your one and why last week.
Yeah, you gave your one and why last week.
You said that you weren't going to be a part of this. So yes. We've already heard this nonsense.
Well, if I listen to it all year round. So it's,
you also have
no,
kids.
No, you listen to Christmas Chipmunks all year long.
It's just I put my iPod on shuffle, which is 80 gigs. And
all 80 of those gigs are filled with Chipmunks music.
They'll come around and you'd think I would fast forward right away, but I don't.
I heard the Chipmunks singing Lady Gaga in Target yesterday.
Oh my gosh, I want to kill myself.
All right, Megan, what's your one and why?
It's all 70s Chipmunks. That's what I'm into.
Okay, well, you know, here's the deal. I couldn't come up with one song, so I just came up with two of my favorite Christmas albums.
Great.
So the first one is Mariah Carey, Merry Christmas.
All right.
Got it when I was like in sixth grade, and it to this day, it's a timeless classic.
It really totally is.
And I see Mariah on, she's wearing a little Santa suit, and she's in the snow, and she like seems as if she's sitting. I like know this album like the back of my hand. I could sing you every song. Second, I loved Mariah Carey. Second, is Sufjan Stevens' Christmas album.
That's a good album.
I love it a lot.
There's like 58 tracks on that.
Yeah, there's
CD.
A lot. And
what's it? Stufan?
Sufjan Stevens?
Sufjan Stevens.
Sufjan Stevens.
Okay.
And I actually really do like the song Oh Holy Night. So
it's a good song.
Yeah.
All right, Sarah, what's your one and why?
I just have many, many that are coming to my mind. So I'm just gonna choose two real quick. I really like the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasted on Open Fire.
All right.
Because that just reminds me of Christmas, and it's just really pretty and sentimental.
Have you ever actually roasted a chestnut on an open fire?
No.
I don't think I've ever seen somebody do that. I've never done it. I don't think people do
it. How funny would that be if, like, roasting a chestnut on an open fire is actually, like, some kind of bomb reference?
It's really dangerous.
Or drug reference.
Haha, Christmas. Oh, yeah.
What else?
And then the other one is, I don't know what the title is. Oh no, I do.
Oh, Christmas tree?
No.
Oh, Tannenbaum?
Oh, Tannenbaum. Oh, come let us adore him.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I like it when that chorus every now and then is like thrown into a random worship song throughout the year. Because just that chorus is really good. I love that.
Well, transitioning a little bit, because we'll probably be playing some Christmas music over the next couple weeks, if you guys don't mind. Can I play some Trans-Siberian Orchestra on here every once in a while? All right.
Yeah.
We'll play some Drummer Boy also.
Oh, I hope so. Do you need to have the real version of it.
I think I have that on my
computer. It's like a six-year-old kid playing a snare drum.
So, hey, we're going to transition into a game that Sarah and I sort of thought of today that we thought would be pretty fun and allows all of us to be... Or the three of you guys to be pretty creative. How does that sound?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I trust Kevin.
So you guys all know what Netflix is, right?
Love it.
The great
Quickster?
Thing about,
I'm kidding.
The great thing about Netflix is that they have what's called Instant, Netflix Instant. And if you've ever looked through the Netflix Instant stuff, there are some movies on there where you go, what is this movie about? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the randomest thing. Yeah. And so I pulled some titles that I found on Netflix Instant, and I want you guys to give me
a
description.
Oh my gosh, it's like we're playing Balderdash.
It is exactly like Balderdash.
Sort of like that, yeah.
I'm really
so
good at this.
I'm going to give you the title of the movie and the style of movie that it is, and I want you guys to tell me what you think the movie is about, and then I'll read the description once you're done. We'll do this for a couple movies. Is that cool?
Yes.
Cool. I think it's hilarious.
I hope that he chooses a movie that me and Megan have watched, because we've watched some obscure
movies. These are movies that you've probably never seen.
Hi, Mark.
All right. So the first one is a movie called IP Man 2, and it's an action flick.
Is it I.P?
No dot. Just IP Man 2.
Like the letter P.
And the letter I. IP Man 2. What do you think, Kevin? It's an action film.
IP Man 2 follows a man who is, it's actually pronounced Ip Man. And he,
Ip Man?
Ip Man. And he starts, he was the predecessor to Bruce Lee.
Okay.
And he teaches his fighting style to some students over in the Asian countries. And he's absolutely broke.
All right.
And at the end, he has to fight. It's in the early 1900s, and he has to fight a boxer at the end with karate.
All right. What do you think it is?
An American boxer.
IP Man 2. This intergalactic thriller follows space patrolman Ira Pontoon through his travels in the intergalactic arena, where he fights the evil master planet man.
There you go.
Mars Petroleum.
All right. Yes. And now, Sarah, what do you think the plot of this movie is?
Well, this movie is about the story of a man, young man growing up, and he always knew he's a little different. And then he found out when he was older that his mother is a human and his father is a robot. And so he has to choose between the two worlds of being a robot or a human. And he has to either deny one side of the family or deny the other side of the
family.
This
is like the plot line to Bicentennial Man.
Or
I'm
Romeo
pretty sure
Juliet.
She thought you said that.
No. Oh, it is. I haven't seen that movie in a really long time, so I wasn't thinking of it.
It's all right.
But it's an action film because there's a lot of fighting.
Totally. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give this one to Kevin. I think you know what this movie is.
I've seen this movie.
Okay.
What? Cheater!
You're the worst.
Oh, my gosh. This is,
the plot line is new in Hong Kong martial arts instructor IP Man preserves and retaliates against his rival's opposition to Wing Chun fighting style he teaches. Mm-hmm. So that's an actual movie that's come out before. We'll do one more here.
It's quite good.
Hey, man.
Whatever.
There's an IP Man and there's an IP Man 2. So.
I'm sorry, but I would like to say that I feel like I did a really good job.
No, you totally. I think you went more in the sci-fi direction than
action
direction.
I mean, I just never heard of it, so I figured it would be sci-fi.
And I kind of went more dramatic, I think.
You did. It was like Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, it would change everything if IP Man 2 was not the number 2. It was just T-O-O.
IP Man 2.
Now, I got
get
another
it. That's
one.
That's really funny.
This one is a recent film. It is a romantic movie, and it is called Beauty and the Briefcase. And wanted to know what your thoughts were on what this movie is. Go for it.
When New York stockbroker Edwin Marshall loses his briefcase, heroine Shane Lee finds it in a park. When he goes to find it, he's so blown away by her immaculate beauty that he forgets about the briefcase, and then they have a bunch of kids, and then the world ends.
And that's not a romantic ending.
No.
All right. Well, what do you think here?
Movie with
Megan?
A twist.
This hilarious comedy follows a beautiful man and his New York socialite but businesswoman girlfriend, who is the briefcase, and their hilariously romantic tale of fighting through the woes of being a career woman and wanting to fall in love.
All right. All right. Sarah?
I was gonna kind of go along that line, but I'm gonna change it a little bit.
Okay.
This is gonna be a vague description just because I'm not sure of the details, but I'm pretty sure it's about a man falling in love with the love of his life, and she threatens to leave him if he does not leave his job.
Kind of like the So You Think You Can Dance No, you guys don't. I've never seen this one.
Oh, the
Leona Lewis.
Yeah. Oh, I totally know what you're talking about.
Totally.
Bleeding Love.
It's the most beautiful dance.
I love that song so much. I like could cry and scream at the same time.
I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna give this one to Megan.
Woo!
I would say you're the closest. A young journalist, Hillary Duff.
See, I knew it was gonna be a girl.
Gets hired to write a career-making story on love in the workplace, but must ultimately choose between her assignment and her heart.
Yes.
Wow. So
I'm pretty sure I said New York City too.
Yeah. I think you did.
I didn't say New York though.
Yeah, you
did. I love how both
me
and Megan both started off really strong in our description, and then towards the end we're like they're in love.
We're kind of going long here. Do you guys want to do one more?
Sarah's got to win one.
All right, you want to try one more, Kevin?
Let's do it.
All right, this one is titled, this is a sci-fi film titled.
Oh, I'm really good at these ones.
Sci-fi film titled.
Go win, it's fine.
Miss Miracle.
Sci-fi. Miss Miracle.
Just saying.
Sarah should start.
Sarah, go for it.
Yes, winner.
Miss Miracle. Megan, start. I have no idea.
Okay. Miss Miracle is a movie in the clouds. It follows a fairy godmother type woman who lives in a different element of space, maybe the, you know, and she is the person who administers miracles on Earth, and no one knows who she is, but she really intervenes with the lives of many creatures. Many creatures.
All right. That's getting there.
I got my plot.
Go.
Miss Miracle is the story of a young girl who is in a Miss America pageant, and her secret talent is miracles. And so she performs many miracles, some evil, some good. So she does some things like turning other of the contestants into small animals, makes them grow a third limb or a fifth limb, depending on how you're looking at it. And
like a cow has four already.
You know. Gotcha. And then at the end, she's crowned Miss America or Miss Miracle.
All right. Kevin, what's your thoughts?
Were you going along those lines, Kevin?
This ugly duckling story
was born an actual duck.
A young
follows the story of a young girl rejected from society who all she wants is to be a beauty pageant queen. And after a night of people berating her and making fun of her, she cries out to the heavens and just says, "I just wish I was beautiful." And then she goes on to win Miss America. But during her acceptance speech, she reveals that it's all a fraud, that she's actually
a pig.
A pig. And but they let her keep her crown because she's got a beautiful soul.
See, I may have kind of deterred you guys all because I think actually the title is Mrs. Miracle, not Miss Miracle.
Well, do you know that MRS stands for Mrs.?
I really blew that one, so I'm sorry.
But whatever.
This film stars James Vanderbeek.
It's about
Miracle Whip.
And it's a charming film. Widower Seth's 6-year-old twins are taken in hand by a nanny they dub Mrs. Miracle. I'm sorry. But, and then there's a dot, dot, dot. Could she be the family's guardian angel?
Oh my gosh, it was me that was the closest.
You totally were the closest.
Yeah.
A little bit. You're getting there.
That's a fairy godmother type person. You said it was sci-fi. She probably lives in the clouds like
this. This is under sci-fi. All right, I'm just saying.
You have to watch that.
Good one.
Sounds more like fantasy.
All right, thanks for playing, guys. Up next, interview with Greg Zuffolato.
I got bound by a cold lady. She's locking me up, she's locking me up. I am down in a hole, baby. I'm about to give up, just about to give up. I got bound by a cold lady. She's locking me up, she's locking me up. And this pain I feel won't set me free from you. Cause I'm a prisoner of your heart. It's taking it slower than I locked up.
I was caught off guard.
All right, we are back with our friend Greg Zeffolato. Did I get that one right?
Yes, Zeffolato is it.
Okay, so. And Greg, this is your first time here on the Spoutcast.
This is.
And so we thought impressive. We'd bring you on today to kind of learn who you are. Most people may not know you since you're kind of, you've been on staff for what, about a month now?
Well, 3 months, but you know.
Not 3 months, yeah. All right.
I've made a big impression. That's good.
That's embarrassing. I'm
time
sorry.
Goes by very quickly.
Yeah, time goes, you
it's
know.
It's true.
I've just switched jobs. A lot of things been going on in my life. I'm really
yes.
sorry. Okay?
No, I'm good with that.
So we want to kind of introduce you to our Spoutcast fans, but also want to talk with you a little bit later about the 1 Corinthians life group guide. So yes. Let's first start out with who Greg is and what do you do at the Well. So what's kind of what have you been doing the last 3 months, Greg?
Three months ago, I came on. I am the spiritual formation director at the Clovis campus.
So you work with Woo. Sarah?
I work with Sarah.
How's that?
She's awesome. She's terrific. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And you came on like as a Clovis campus spiritual formation yes, director, correct?
Yes, came on specifically. Not unlike, you know, a lot of people come on yeah. the Well and move and shift.
Right.
Right now, I'm in the position same. I started with, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, and so what? Where were you at before the Well?
At another church in town, New Harvest Church.
Okay.
There about 6 years, and now.
And I've you been, were Dave's boss, correct?
Well,
our audio director, Dave Johnson.
I was good friends with Dave.
Okay.
And we spent a lot of time together.
Did you call him Super Dave?
Super Dave was my nickname for him.
But you weren't technically his boss, though.
No.
You don't call him that anymore, do you?
No.
Is he not super anymore?
He's still super, but I think he didn't like it because if you remember back to Super Dave.
The comedian?
Yes.
Yeah, Super Dave Osborne.
So he thought I was making fun of Dave, but it wasn't. He is super because he does everything. Yes,
he does
everything.
It's an endearing term.
It is.
And so,
a man of many talents.
Yes. If you don't go to the Clovis campus and you're listening, Greg, you have a family. You have a wife. Yes. You have some kids. How many kids do you have?
I have 2 kids. Emma, 7 years old. She's
okay.
in second grade. Luke's 4 years old. He does mommy preschool at home. My wife, Kim.
You told me earlier off air that you brought home a Nerf gun today to shoot
yes.
your son. Is that a typical thing you guys do?
Typical, or? Yeah. Yep. He's usually shooting me or okay. throwing things at me, hitting me, but he loves it. He's all boy.
Rambunctious kid? Or? Yeah.
Good, really good, sweet boy, but he likes to play like any other boy.
So something I like about you, Greg, and you guys can say whatever you want, but something
this
I know
is
about
not a good way to start.
Something I know about Greg is that I'd say over the past maybe about 4 months, I've really been trying to eat healthy, and Andrew File always says like, man, you really should talk to Greg about your eating habits because you eat very similar to him. And so, what are your eating habits? I don't know. Do you have a special
yes.
diet? Don't you?
It's not a diet. Yes, I am.
It's a way of life.
Way of life. It's yeah. simplistic. It's uh-huh. fruits, vegetables, meats, and nuts. That's it.
Like a hunter-gatherer.
Hunter-gatherer, yes. That's what I am. I'm a hunter-gatherer.
So it's kind of almost the opposite of the Atkins diet, or it is the sort of Atkins way?
Well, it's different.
Okay.
But basically, you know, a few years ago, I was told I was hypoglycemic, so
okay.
started eliminating processed foods, and then it led to fruits, vegetables, meats, and nuts.
And you feel better?
I feel awesome.
He yeah. puts anything you find in a blender
yes.
and then brings it in liquid form to work.
That's what Dave Sather does.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does.
We've had some good conversations about that.
I don't like to drink like my meals with straws. I don't know. I like to chew things. So yeah. I
wouldn't be
a good
astronaut
time with
then.
It.
I don't use a straw, though.
You're absolutely right. I wouldn't.
Megan, don't be an astronaut.
Is it, and you feel healthier,
well,
though.
You inspired me somewhat on the liquid. I always did the blender thing, but
yeah.
then I upped it to another level when I watched Fat, Sick, and Nearly
Dead.
Yeah, it was
great stuff.
I don't think I want to see it.
No,
it's tough to watch, but it's actually really fascinating.
It is.
And
If you're a documentary person.
I like documentaries, but I think I'm scared because they usually make me want to change my life. And then that's
see,
exhausting.
That's what happens. Yes.
Yeah, this is a longer topic that we can get into.
We should have done favorite documentary.
I'm convinced that if you're watching something and it's stirring something inside of you, that means you should probably change.
Right, but that's still, it requires a lot of you, and it requires a lot of effort. It doesn't matter whether or not you should do it. It's just hard.
You ever considered taking meat out of that equation?
I have. Yeah. Actually, after that, the next one was forks over knives.
Forks over knives, yeah.
For a while, I went to just a small amount of meat, and I felt great. So yeah. I still do. I my change was I. That's why it's different than Atkins, because right. I minimized my meat. I didn't gotcha. Eliminate it.
When gotcha. Atkins, you can have processed cheese, and you can eat processed. Right.
If it's meat or fat or animal, you eat it. Yeah. If it's anything else, you don't. I mean, I don't really.
That's see, I never right. asked you these questions, but I figure I'll save it for the air.
Yeah,
why? Save it for the
good.
Airwaves.
That's good. I like it.
Now, Greg, a part of being on staff as a spiritual formation director, mm-hmm. you are directly involved along with Andrew File, Scott Carolyn, who we've been trying to get in here for a long time, but I guess you're second best. So
super busy.
I'm just kidding. But what exactly you guys all work on these primers together, the life group primer and then the life group guides yes. as well. Did you have a big part in the primer?
The primer, not so much. Okay. Training on the primer, distributing, helping people understand it.
Right.
The life group guide, Scott, Andrew, and I partnered with that and put that together and so with the help of others. But right. we were the main thrust and wrote a lot of it. Yeah.
And you guys wrote that rather quickly, right?
Yes. faster than... You would have liked it.
And so this life group guide, maybe give some explanation as to what it is, how long it is, do you have to be in a life group, all of the
right.
above.
Well, life group guide is not a sermon discussion guide, so it
which
does...
Which is what used to be called the Ripple.
Right, right.
So we've kind of gotten rid of that.
Right. You can do... The cool thing about the life group guide is you don't have to be at church on Sunday. You could have, right. you know, you've been out of town, you still come in. It can be given to another group outside of the well, and they can right. still do it. It's about 1 Corinthians. Now, the only thing that's consistent with our sermons is we're going through 1 Corinthians for right. this year. Well, we're also going through the life group guide through this year, but it doesn't match up week to week. Obviously,
they're
it's
similar,
the same Bible.
They're yeah. similar yeah. tests.
Absolutely.
Though. Yeah.
But the
life
blocks,
group, yeah.
I mean, Brad had basically said that we're going to do 1 Corinthians for 40 to 50 weeks. This yep. life group guide's not 50 weeks, is it?
It or, is.
It
it's
is.
The well, first. Okay, so it's released quarterly.
Okay.
So we got every 13 weeks, there'll be 10 studies every 13 weeks because it gives some breathe room for the groups to do other things outside of the study.
All right.
So, you know, you have 13 weeks of the study, you have 10 actual nights you can go through a curriculum.
Gotcha.
And the other ones you can do relational activities, you can be on mission, you can go serve the poor, you can go right. out work with your neighbors,
eat
you can
together,
eat dinner together.
Game night.
Now, so, if yeah. you're a group that is just going to start as a life group, and maybe I'm just getting on track here yeah. a little bit, before you start the 1 Corinthians guide, you have to go through the Anatomy of a Disciple one first, correct?
The primer.
The
yes,
primer.
Yes.
So there's that's like if you're going to start a new group, you want to go through the primer first before right. you can get into the 1 Corinthians.
New groups form with the primer because it goes through a lot of things. They get the basics of you know spiritual formation,
right.
being on mission, they get being in a community. They get all the rhythms of what groups we want groups to be.
Okay.
So then you get in the life group guide. So for example, let's say you started in a life group in January, you go through the primer. You can still jump in the life group guide in 1 Corinthians, wherever it is, because it's built to, you can pick up at any time.
It's more text-based than it is sermon-based.
Right.
So really, you don't have to, you could have missed an entire mm-hmm. month of life group or an entire month of church, and it doesn't matter. You just pick right back up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But ideally, you'd want to start in the beginning of these quarterly things, correct?
Yeah. I mean, ideally, you want to, it's great to start like in, next week should be kind of launch the first week of the, if you're on perfect pace, which, for example, my group is not. We had a mid-primer break. We didn't break. We had somebody come in. We had the Youngs come in and our extended family.
We
missionaries.
Had Jared Young on the Spoutcast a couple
yes,
weeks ago.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, him and his wife did a great job. They came to our group. They spoke, talked about missions and talked about what they're doing.
So
we're a week behind.
Yeah,
and which is perfectly fine. That's one thing for life groups we're trying to get across is it's not, you know, cookie cutter set.
Yeah.
You don't have to be right on pace. So that's why the life group guide is written that way.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's great. And you guys passed them out this weekend, correct?
Yes.
And if you're somebody who's in a life group and you want one of these life group guides, where can you find them?
Two things you can do. You can buy a actual copy, hard copy for $5, or you can download it for free.
And it is now available online.
I just found out this afternoon.
Yeah,
it was. I saw it. So
there will be a link for it in today's show.
Absolutely.
And the same. Yeah. So it's under media, under life groups, mm-hmm. media, life groups on the website.
It's fairly long. So expect to print out 30 pages.
Yeah.
Maybe,
it's 101 pages.
expect to print out 101 pages.
Yeah. Is that 101 full pages or 101 half
pages?
Oh, the
pages? Half ones, yes. So it might.
And then you can, if you do it on double-sided, yeah, then so you're just saving yourself some
that's
trees.
That's right. Or
Kinko's should really sponsor the show.
Or you just
really is what we're saying.
Or you do $5 and you get a nice,
a cool looking book.
Our creative team is awesome.
Yeah,
you know, the creative team puts it together and it makes it look so good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's good.
I feel like I got a good understanding. I feel like that was a good. You kind of gave us the big picture there, Greg. Okay. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Where are these books being sold and when?
Oh, nice. So you can always pre-order them on, and you can send them to your campus. Or you can get them at the office.
We'll put a link in today's show for it and whatnot. But if you go to our Clovis campus, Greg is a rather tall gentleman. So if you don't know who he is and doesn't have much hair, if you don't know who he is, come find Sarah and Sarah will point you who this guy is.
And if you don't know who Sarah is, just pick a different campus.
Yeah.
That is true.
But that's really, sure. if you're just confused, make sure about these guides. You have some questions about it. Find either your local campus pastor or your spiritual formation director of the campus, and they'll really answer all the questions. I think it's just a shift in what people might be used to at the Well, especially people who've been going through the Ripple for years.
Yes.
And so obviously we've gone through the primer over the last 8 weeks, but if you didn't do that and you're jumping on board with the First Corinthians stuff and you took a break from church for 8 weeks, Sarah, you know,
she was running a marathon.
That's right.
Yeah,
she was running a marathon.
It was not a marathon.
It was 15 miles.
It was a half marathon.
Half marathon.
Which is 13.2 miles.
13.2.
Did you run, Greg?
I'm just saying, let's be
honest.
Nope,
I did not.
All right.
I don't run. I was a basketball player, so 94 feet is the farthest
I
run.
All right. CrossFit stuff.
CrossFit.
There you go. Well, Greg, hey, thanks for being on the show today, my friend.
Pleasure, my pleasure.
And we hope that after today you'd start listening to this show.
I will.
All right.
I'll listen to this one for sure.
Deal?
Yes, definitely.
All right, cool, Greg. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
They call me help. They call me Stacy. They call me her. They call me Jane. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. They call me Quite, but I'm a liar. Mary Jo Lisa, always the same. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name.
All right, we are back. We're going to close out the show with some announcements. But before we get to that, I just want to do a quick plug for, we have what is called Mock Rock this coming Friday. And if you are a junior hire who listens, which is probably maybe one, I don't really know.
Maybe Mackenzie Clausen listens.
Yeah, maybe
and
every
Sarah.
Once in a while. But yes. Sarah Wells.
Junior hire.
But I think that this is a really fun event for parents to come and check out. We junior hires, they perform lip syncs. It's a really fun night if you've never been. Lots of laughs, and it's one of the favorite things that I do all year, and I love doing it. And it's a good way to see kind of small groups and how they connect and how they interact with each other. The end. Go for it.
You just make fun of rock and roll?
I have one announcement, actually.
Hey, Sarah is supposed to do announcements.
Oh, I know, but I just have another announcement.
Go for it.
Graduate.
What she does. Wes Crockett, when you are back from your honeymoon now, I've been told, and I do expect an email with an update on the last 2 weeks of what we've talked about in the podcast and all of your opinions.
Okay.
Love you. Megan.
And the only other announcement we have is to buy a life group guide. You can buy it $5 at your local iHub or download it for free off the website. And whether you're in a life group or not, please take advantage of this resource because it's a really good study, whether you're talking about it in a group or you just talk about it with your family at the dinner table.
Yeah, there if you're going to download it, don't print it out. Just use your phone or whatever.
Save a tree.
Yeah, or and if
where
you're
did you get all eco-friendly?
I'm not eco-friendly.
Do you have a Prius?
Printing out a bunch of
you
stuff.
You were like chopping down trees outside while we were recording the first segment.
You know, I just do that for, you know, to get out the
recreation.
Anger.
Recreation. All right, well, hey,
get all the anger before I come in here.
If this is your first time listening to the Spoutcast, you can download it on iTunes. You can also find it on the website, wellcommunity.org. Also, remember to find us on Facebook, facebook.com/thespoutcast or Spoutcast, sorry, or twitter.com/thespoutcast. And yeah.
Email us.
Email us your one and why, which next week's one and why is your favorite Thanksgiving dish. Okay, so
yum.
I just like gravy. That's it. Just
big
drink it
bowl
up.
Of gravy.
So this is Spout. We are out.
It's getting close to sundown over the Sierra, stranded on a heat wave, burning with desire. She was on the sidewalk looking for a nightlight. We talked about the real.